Hello and welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along.
Thank you very much.
Right, this week we'll be looking at the games against Montrose and Kelty Hearts. We'll preview the huge game on Saturday against St Johnstone, plus we'll hear from manager Jim McAnally and Ben Armour. Right then, Martin, how's your week been? It's been a busy old week for us.
Yeah, I'm busy. It's fine to be busy again. Keeps us going, makes a week pass a bit quicker.
Keeps our nose clean, as some folk might say.
Yes,
right, and we'll start off with last Saturday's game against the Montrose. Before we sort of dissect the game, as it were, what was your kind of overall thoughts on it?
I thought it was an entertaining game. Obviously, we've come out on the wrong side result-wise, but I think as games go, for me it was an entertaining game. You could see both teams were wanting to attack. You know, sometimes you maybe go away from home quite happy to settle for a point. But no, I think the teams that both managers put out, you could tell they realised the importance of the winning the game.
There was the one change that we did expect to happen was Ben Armour was in for Stephen Boyd. Cook then went over to the left hand side of the three, and Armour played through the middle. Let's talk about his performance for a start. Then back in the lineup, got two goals. How impressed were you with his game overall?
Very impressed. I said that to you on Saturday. I thought he looked really sharp, considering he's just come back. He said himself that you got an hour out of him, and he thought that was as much as he would be able to do. So I think in terms of the game, he did everything you sort of want from your striker. He was pressing, he got in your face, and he didn't let anybody in the Montrose back four, you know, settle. He was constantly either the right back or he was going over to the left back and closing him down. His first goal, you know, he's bundled it across the line. He's doing what a striker should be. He's following up on that, a chance. And the second goal, initially when he started to go in the keeper, I think I said to you, I thought he maybe fluffed it, but then very calm, composed, and he's managed to slot that away. And, you know, you could tell on his face when he got his second, he was delighted himself and put in a very good performance.
That was the pleasing thing. It was two very different goals, but it's two very different goals that any striker would be very pleased with, and any good striker would be scoring both of those kind of goals, because, as you said, the first one was a poacher's goal. He's following up, so you'd expect your striker to be there to get the tap in, and then the second one, he's pounced on a mistake by the defender, but he's shown the composure not only just to get past the goalkeeper, but then to slot it in with a defender tracking onto the line.
Yeah, like you said, the first thing, it's like a poacher's instinct, because you maybe see the striker just watching what's happening, but he's been clever enough to follow up. And as you said, the second one, very clinical, I think very easy to be through and maybe overawed by the occasion, but, you know, snatch it and easy to put it wide, or, you know, just shoot right at the keeper. So a very calm, composed, finished. And as we said, there are two different types of goals, but one is a striker you'd be very pleased with.
And he's equaled his tally for last season already, which is the no mean feat, that has to be said. But that's obviously going to give him the confidence to carry on for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think it's a big season for Ben. I've said that before, but injuries, and he didn't get in the starting lineup to start with last season. We're already starting, and he was only like put out in the wing, so I don't think that helped him as well. The injury that he suffered in January and then lockdown, but I think he's. As everybody can see in the pictures and the highlights of the games, he's built himself up. He looks really sharp. And I think he's hungry as well. He wants to succeed and do well. And I've got really high hopes for Ben this season.
Yeah, so let's hear what the young man had to say then.
Ben, back in the starting lineup, two goals. Was he pleased?
Absolutely. Pleased with the two goals. Obviously not so pleased with the result at the end of the day. I think we probably deserve more for the game. And I think over the next coming weeks, I think we'll come together a wee bit more as a unit, a few more boys back, and I think we'll definitely see us come together as a team, as Gaffer said in there, to try and put some more positive results together. But no, on a personal level, delighted to get back in the team. First of all, obviously get two goals makes it a wee bit sweeter, but no, I think as a team we can do better and probably should have got more for the game.
A goal something you're sort of keen to add to your game this season then, because you only got a couple last season?
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. I think that's me beat my tally for last season already, so no, it's definitely something that needs to improve, especially playing up front. But yeah, delighted with the 2 goals today, but as you say, hopefully I had a wee bit more this season to my goal tally anyway.
Quite frustrating maybe today, just wasn't really a lot of the game was on, and just that penalty incident.
It's so frustrating, but as I said, I think we will come good, and we'll definitely do well this season hopefully. So it's a slow one today, but bittersweet my part for the goals, but not so happy with the result.
Was you frustrated to be taken off?
Maybe
get your hat-trick for the chance to...
A bit of both, to be fair. I think I had to come off. I was starting to feel my legs a wee bit. A wee bit disappointed to come off on that part, but I'd love to stay on it, try and get that hat-trick. But no, hopefully more to come.
I have a couple of big games coming up now as well in the League Cup, so wouldn't it be available?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's forward thinking, but no, I was on the pitch. I probably would have wanted to stay on, try and get it. But for the team, it was probably best that I came off. And as you say, we've got a lot of big games coming up, as the gaffer said in there, big game Tuesday. Obviously a massive game on Saturday with a great chance to go through in the cup hopefully, so no, I need to kind of be professional about it and have a bit of forward thinking.
You're playing through the middle of the day, is that somewhere that you hope to play more often this season?
See, to be honest, it's probably the first time in my career where I've been more than happy to play wide or through the middle. I think I always probably favoured playing through the middle, but I think this year I've put a wee bit of work into Leland out wide, as I've said to both of you before. So no, either or, but I think hopefully if I can play through him, I do probably get a few more goals this season, but no, I'm more than happy to play it wide as well.
When we spoke to you in the summertime during the lockdown, that you were hoping to kind of get your fitness up, bulk up a bit. You've done that. We can see the size of you now. Is that going to change your game slightly, or adapt your game because of the extra sort of weight you've got now?
I think so, yeah. I think, to be fair, I've definitely put on size and a bit of weight, but to be fair, doing sprint tests and things like that, I'm just as quick as what I was last year. So yeah, definitely changed the way I'm looking to play a wee bit, maybe use my body a bit more and be a wee bit more dominant, a wee bit more powerful. And in terms of the fitness and things like that, I think I came back flying and I was in really good condition. And obviously, the injury a couple of weeks ago has kind of gave me a wee bit of a knockdown. But no, I'll definitely get back to peak fitness as quickly as I can. And obviously, the game's coming up, it's a great opportunity to do that.
With the game on Tuesday, does that give you an ideal opportunity to bounce back straight away rather than sort of think about it, you can just fit to bed and get on with it?
Absolutely, yeah, that's what the gaffer said in there. It's a great opportunity. It's always good. You've got a game on Tuesday after a poor result on Saturday, and especially with the way we've done in the cup so far. We're in a great position, and all the boys are so excited for it, and hopefully we can get a positive result.
Aye, you didn't quite realise how big he's gotten until you're standing next to him. We should maybe start calling the Hulk or something, should we?
He's a big lad, and he's finally putting on the muscle. Like,
aye, he's done well, and he's used his lockdown period to good use by the looks of it. So hopefully that bodes well for what's going to happen on the pitch for him this coming season.
Yeah, that he's spoken this summer about that was what he wanted to do, and he wanted to add like a different part to his game. So now that he's bulked up and he's got that strength, because he's now the tallest of lads. But if he's got that strength, he can certainly impose himself in defence, which is what he showed on Saturday.
That's the kind of positive side to that game. We should, I guess, talk about the negative side to the game, and that is the fact that we did concede another 3 goals. The first 2 goals for Montrose, I think we both kind of commented on Saturday that they both came from our left. It was Conroy's, was obviously playing at left back. He came up against Chris Mochrie, who, let's kind of face it, it's a natural winger playing against a non-natural left back, and it was always going to be one winner that was going to come out of that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I did sort of feel sorry in the way up in the road on Saturday for Conroy, because it's back to the square pegs and round holes. I do think that when the news of Paddy Boyle leaving, if Jim was wanting to go in a back four, I do think it's something that he should maybe have looked at bringing in a left back or somebody that was very comfortable playing left back, and as well as a centre back if you're going with a back three. But yeah, ultimately it was without doing. We got caught out twice. But as you said, he's not an actual left back. He's there slotting in at the moment. Yeah, and it was a tough afternoon for Ryan, both defensively and going forward.
And Mochrie would have impressed his manager, his Dundee United manager, Mickey Mellon, who was in the stand as well. Because if we're being honest, he probably was one of their better players on the pitch on the day.
Yeah, we've seen that after about 10 minutes, there was a pattern to Montrose. We were wanting everything to go down our left and their right. They obviously pinpointed that Ryan was the so-called weak link in the team. so to speak. But yeah, and Chris had a good game for Montrose, unfortunately for us. But we could, you could sort of see the pattern. They were wanting everything to go. They were wanting Chris to go wide. And 9 times out of 10, he did that. And he did usually put in either a good ball or pick out a pass as well.
And somebody else that had a good game as well was another former Peterhead player, Russell McLean. He got the opening two goals for Montrose. It's just one of those things. It's typical. Your old boy plays against you, ends up scoring goals. We could have put good money on Rusty scoring at least one. From score two, is obviously doing well. He didn't get a lot last season as well. I think I heard him saying post-match that he'd equaled his tally for last season as well. So there must have been something happening with the strikers this season. But again, he took his goals well.
Yeah, from a Montrose point of view, they'll be delighted. It's finishes again. You'd expect of a typical striker, he's a big lad, he puts himself about. From our point of view, it's disappointing. I think more so the first goal is disappointing. It's a short free kick. It's Conroy's beating on the left, and it's just a low cross. It's almost crossed into, rather than picking out a player, it's just into an area, and he's been the first team to react and gotten back into the game. And the timing of the goal as well, you know, 5-6 minutes before half time, it does change your team thought slightly. I think that was the most frustrating thing. It's easily beaten on the left hand side, simple ball across, and also the timing of the goal.
But if you were Montrose manager, you'd be pleased that your striker's actually getting across the goal, because that's one thing you'd always say to your striker, like, get across, get to the front post, you never know what's going to happen. So and that's exactly what he's done there. Because to get into that position, he's actually probably passed two defenders.
Yeah.
And that's... Yeah. And Reyes had no chance at the near post, because it's been fired at him and it's gone in, and it's probably passed him before you've seen it.
Yeah, the ball's in the back of the net before Ray can get to it. He's probably not even seen it, in fairness. But the frustrating thing is, as you said, he's passed two players to get to in front of the near post. I reckon whether we're probably just in a set properly after the short free kick. He's maybe caught a few players out because Montrose have got a few big lads. They're maybe expecting that ball to come straight in the box, and it's been like I think it was a left foot reverse wide, and then Conroy's beaten. So, yeah, maybe it happened quick. It's maybe something we need to be more switched on in future to realise that there is that short one, especially on my left-hand side.
And on to the winner, which is from the penalty spot. I guess we've got no debates with regards the penalty decision, but there might be a debate on whether or not Bailey should have done what he should have done, because there's an argument that he could have let the striker go through, because I think Josh Ray was probably going to get the ball before the striker.
Yeah, from our point of view, it did look like Josh has got to get there first. It's probably a challenge that, retrospectively, he wish he hadn't have made. Gave the referee an easy decision. It's one of them, you're right, he's got to get that penalty. But I think it came at a period of time, he just had like a bad 5 minute spell. He had a cross that he tried to put in the box, and he shanked it and it went well over the bar. I think at one point he was trying to control the ball and sort of stumbled on it and then fell on his backside.
He controlled it with his bum.
Yeah, he controlled it with his bum, and then 2 minutes later he's conceded a penalty. I think it was just a bad 5 minutes. But then after the penalty's been scored by Montrose, a couple of the players were, you know, gathering around him and just trying to keep his head up. So maybe just a bad 5 minutes, and probably retrospectively probably wishing they made the challenge.
Is it a bad 5 minutes? Because we've seen Bailey a few times already this season, and he made a mistake for a goal against which Beacon then scored from, if you remember, in the cup. There's a couple of times you just think he's either been beaten too easy, or maybe just still settling in a little bit. Maybe we're a bit too harsh on him at the moment. But if you were on an opposition side, you would say definitely the full-back area is the weak points for Peterhead.
Yeah, I think if we can see his fans for the weak point is, I'm sure managers and scouts that do their research quite intensively, they will pick it out as well. I'm hoping it's just a settling in period, but I think if you were to have this conversation a month's time and there's all the same problems going on, then you'd maybe think of, you know, taking out your team a wee bit. Does it maybe coincide Simon Ferry's out? We've spoken many a times about how he communicates with players and he tries and helps them along. Also on Saturday, it was Bailey and Freeman was beside him rather than Jason Brown. I don't know whether that maybe got an impact as well. You know, just trying to settle it down with an experienced sort of player. So, yeah, if this conversation's happening this time next month, you'd maybe be looking to take him out for a wee bit.
I guess once McKenzie comes back into the frame, the easy thing would be to bring him in and then just slot Freeman back into the right back again and just take Bailey out the firing line for a couple of games.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's come in, he's pretty much been a regular in the team. He maybe just needs that. If he's had a bad game, just take him out the limelight rather than keep playing him, but then his confidence dropping. Because the last thing you want is a player playing week in, week out that's got no confidence or is scared to be positive and thinking that he might do something wrong.
Right, we'll hear what the manager had to say straight after the game.
As I say, I thought probably a draw might have been a fair result because we've no overworked their goalkeeper. I think Josh has only had two saves in the game outside the goals, and it seems to be that's what happens here. But I thought we deserved a draw. And I was, as I said, I was pleased with the way we kept at it. You know, when you take into account the things that's happening through the games, we, you know, we keep bouncing back and we keep going at it, you know, so it's nice, it's good that you know, we've got a lot of younger players this year and I do think we'll improve as the season goes on. And then once we get our more senior players back, we'll certainly be stronger.
Is that one of the more positive things? We went 2-1 down, 3-2 down, but the players still show that willingness to go keep going and try and get back in the game?
And I always expose them a wee bit because I put my bodies up front and that leaves you holes at the back and stuff like that, you know. But you know, I would rather lose a game 4 or 5, try to equalise, than just see it out and not have a go at it. So we didn't create a lot. I mean, Scott had a great run along the byline, Scott Brown, and he might have crossed it, but you know, that was as close as we came really. But you know, I felt like coming back to 2-2. I thought we were going and win it.
Yeah.
So it was disappointing. It was a penalty kick, and you know, for me, it's a soft penalty kick because our goalkeeper's always getting the ball, in my opinion, you know.
Yeah. Was the manner of the goals that you conceded disappointing?
Well, the first goal, obviously, you know, put things in perspective, the boy Mockery's a right good player. He's in loan for Dundee United. He shows a really good bit of skill on the right-hand side. And, you know, Big Russell makes a good run across the front post and scores, so you know, we could have defended better the initial, dribble for the boy. But Ryan's he's not a natural fullback, and it was going to come a game where he was going to come up against somebody that was a wee bit different. But the second goal, to be honest, the second goal, I haven't seen a lot yet because I turned around and I said to Derek Lyle, I was worried about Ben, and I turned around and I said to Derek Lyle, go and make sure that you're ready to go in the next 10 or 15 minutes, and then as I said, the bogging in the net. So I've not seen that goal, and then the third goal, you know.
So, on the positive side, Ben Armour's back in the team, scored 2 goals. How pleased were you with his performance overall?
I'm really pleased. I mean, Ben is naturally a striker because he's strong, he holds it in, he's quick, and if he can add goals to his game. And I've always said that the older he gets, and I mean he's still young than now, but he'll get a better player because you don't get a lot of strikers now that realise the importance of link-up play and using their strength and holding it in and bringing other people into the game, and Ben's got that. He does it naturally, so that's why I was keen to keep him here, and I'm glad, you know, you can see how strong he is. He was strong even before lockdown, but he's come back stronger. He just needs to make sure that he doesn't overbalance himself, you know, and be too heavy.
Just want to touch Jim, Lyle Cameron, second half particularly, I thought he was really good with his footwork. He's got, for a young man, he's got such a good footballing brain, it seems.
To be fair to the wee boy, compared to last week, he was nowhere near it. And the pleasing thing for me was exactly what you're saying. He could have threw the towel in the first half because a few things went against him. He gave the ball away a few times, it wasn't gone for him. And in the second half, he just kept at it, and he's got great energy. You know, he's only turned 18. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. You take all these things into consideration, and he's got a chance of being a player. So, you know, it's pleasing. And bear in mind that I think when we've got
everybody back and fit, it helps these boys because they're playing in a stronger team, you know what I mean? So that's good. That's good.
Is it good that you've got a game on Tuesday night now that you can sort of bounce back straight away?
Aye, it's really good because, as I said, I personally was really unhappy, and nothing to do with the players really, you know, you hate losing, never, I know what happens, but you just hate it, and I went in and took it on some of the players and I shouldn't have done, because, as I say, I get more angry with the other dugouts and that, and you just feel as though maybe that's the way we should be, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You felt like they were kind of nipping at the referee quite a lot.
Constantly.
We could hear that for we were.
Constantly. And whether they're right or wrong, they keep doing it. And maybe it's my fault that I don't do it, you know what I mean? But I think I've been in enough trouble over the years that I've tried to learn a wee bit.
On that note, cheers. Thanks for that.
So, Jim, obviously a bit disappointed overall, as you could hear, but he was a bit more disappointed in fact, as well, by the home side's antics, shall we say, putting it politely. What was your kind of take on it?
Interesting. Yeah, it's different. We were able to hear it more than what we would have before when there's crowds. Is it anything different than what would normally go on? I don't think it's right that it goes on. I think the lines are in front of us, Tina. A fair battering for the Montrose bench in the first half. For incidents at completely the opposite side of the field, I don't know how good they expect the linesman's vision to be, but, you know, if the referee's 5 yards away and the linesman's 35 yards, the referee will make that decision. So I don't like some of the things that were said for the Montrose bench, but it's probably something that goes on week in, week out, you know, throughout the division. So that doesn't make it right. But at the same time, it's probably no different than what it would be in a normal weekend.
It did get a bit feisty at times. I mean, especially first half, there was an incident with McLean and Jason Brown. The referee probably dealt with it as well as he probably could have done. And I think he had a particularly good game overall, but that was one of the things he probably dealt with pretty well. But yeah, and 50 yards, 60 yards further back, you've got Sean Dillon, the assistant manager, I should say, or coach. He's given the linesman absolute pelters because he's shown a red card. Now, again, as you were saying there, how could he see anything different when the referee was only 10 yards away from it?
To be fair, you're probably right with Sean Dillon being the assistant referee. The amount of grief that he was getting the linesman, I did think at one point he was part of the officials. The referee dealt with, there was a couple of situations where Russell McLean and Jason Brown, they're big lads, they're strong lads, and it was competitive. I didn't think there was nothing over the top. It was niggling, but you get that throughout any game. They're two big lads. That's probably the only reason it was brought to the referee's attention, is because Russell McLean is a really big lad, and you can see it made obvious. But for Sean Dillon to build a little scream, he can see something different to fit the referee's scene, but the referee's much, much closer. Is disappointing, but I think he was the main catalyst within the dugouts, from what we appear to hear. It was disappointing.
And even when they got a penalty, they were still going to happy, because they got the penalty, which obviously resulted in the winner. Because there's no crowd, you can sort of hear everything that's going on. And Andrew Steeves, the left back for Montrose, was still berating the linesman, who, in fact, was at the opposite end of the pitch, because it was nothing to do with him, but he was still getting grief because they think it should be a red card. Now, there are some occasions when a red card is needed, but not every foul needs to be a red card.
It's good that you touched on that, because I think every time that there was a foul within the game that was contentious, the bench were shouting for a card to be produced of some colour. I think the games have been changed a lot there in the last 10 years, but not every foul is got to be a yellow card. I think they were screaming for McCarthy to be sent off as well, because they claimed, in a quote, a leg breaker, unquote, was the thing that was being screamed for the bench. It was a clumsy challenge, it was poor, but it was never a leg breaker. But for things like that to be shouted across, and I did think it influenced the referee for the next 5-10 minutes, because any 50-50, it seemed to go the way Montrose. And as Jim said, that it's not his style to be shouting out for the bench. But
you know, is it something that later on, next couple of months, if you start doing it, will decisions start going your way a bit more? You wonder. But I certainly think a referee was slightly more influenced than what he would have been if there was a crowd and you couldn't hear so much of the bench.
Jason Brown made his 100th league appearance for Peterhead, capped it with a sending off for two yellows. How many times do you think he's been sent off in his Peterhead career?
Pass. I've done. Are you going to say it's his second, third?
It's his first. That was his first red
card. First.
On his milestone game. So if you get sent off every 100 games, that's not too bad.
I would argue he shouldn't have been sent off on Saturday, because that first yellow card that he got was my yellow.
Well, I was going to wait to say, because the first yellow was a bit of a joke decision. The second one, yes, we could probably say that was definitely a yellow.
Yeah.
But the first one was just a little ridiculous. And that comes off the back of what happened maybe 5-10 minutes earlier with him and McLean.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, was it not McLean was backing into Brown and then they sort of just came together? There wasn't actually much in it. I think nobody's really appealing for a foul, apart from the bench, of course.
In fact, he's probably actually played the ball as well, but I guess the ref has looked at him and well, I've booked McLean already, I need to somehow get Brown in the book as well. And he's done that. But again, as I said earlier on, the referee had a poor game overall, I think.
Yeah, he did like the whistle quite a bit. I think he could have let it be more free-flowing. I think there was a few times that he gave a foul from the team that was winning the foul still had possession. I think if he just waited a second more, he could have let the game flow. And overall, it was a good game, but it could have been better if a referee just held that whistle a slight second longer.
Well, in his four games before that one on Saturday, he dished out 20 yellow cards in his four games, so he does like to dish out the yellow cards there. So one last note from the Montrose game. We were obviously there. No fake crowd noise being fired in through the PA system. Yeah. Do you think that was a better than what you would currently get at Balmour?
Yes. I'm not a fan of the current noise. I didn't like it from it's on Sky. I think maybe BT as well. They maybe do it, but no. For me, I prefer it just the way it is. I kind of there's no crowd, but I actually enjoyed listening to some of the players and the tactical side of it. You know, the things that they're saying, and you maybe think, why is a player doing that? And you can see the other players shouting and encouraging each other. So for me, I prefer that rather than the canned crowd noise.
And let's face it, if it's a call Tuesday night in Balmour, there's maybe only 200 or 300 folk there, you're not going to play a canned noise in just to boost it up a wee bit, are you?
No, that's very true. So, yeah, exactly.
Okay, so the next game we're going to talk about was for last night, the Betfred Cup game against Kelty Hearts. One change again, just this time it was one that came out of the blue slightly. Lenny Wilson came in for, we thought he was injured, but we believe it was an illness bug that he's picked up for Ray. Wilson finally getting his debut 15 yeah. months after signing. He finally gets his debut, and it's on a Tuesday night down in Fife.
Yeah, I'm really pleased for him. He's waited a long time to get it. I did think in the start of the season, Jim might rotate the keepers in the cup. I did think we might get one starting at Tannadice and one at home against Brechin, but he's gone with Ray right up until last night's game. I don't think he did too much wrong in the game, apart from the goal maybe, but he'll be pleased to get 90 minutes under his belt, and he'll be maybe one eye on getting in the team first for Saturday against St Johnston.
You know, he did everything that he was asked to do. He did it well. You know, he came out, he collected crosses, he made saves when he needed to. The only negative is the goal that was conceded. It's squirmed underneath him. Unfortunately, maybe a lot of folk will sort of look at that more rather than the overall performance, as things are with goalkeepers. Kind of if a howler like that, that's the thing, it gets remembered. So, but we shouldn't sort of talk too much about that as such. We should focus on the positives and say, yes, he did well. Everything he was asked of today, he did it extremely well and looked confident with it as well.
Yeah, it's his first game in 15 months. I wouldn't expect him to be a world beater. He did the good things well. He communicated with his defence. As you said, he came and caught crosses that you'd expect him to deal with. Yeah, okay, he's conceded a goal, getting under his body, but you know, Josh had the same for him and throws his second on Saturday. It's getting under his body. So, you know, goalkeepers, I wouldn't say it's a mistake, it's getting under his body, but he'll be maybe made aware of when a player shaping up to take a shot next time, maybe his body or his hands can be better positioned and he'll learn by it. You know, they're both young keepers and they'll surely improve.
Yep, absolutely. So, first half, it was, again, a bit of a non-event, which is kind of a pattern of Peterhead games so far this season. But I just kind of felt we maybe showed Kelty a bit too much respect. We kind of backed off too much rather than sort of getting in their faces.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was a bit passive for 45 minutes. We didn't really... Neither team really did much in the first half. It was almost a case of they were waiting for the opposite number to make the first move. I think Kelty realised that for anything, you know, they wanted to win the game, prove that they should have been in the Football League. From our point of view, one of them, we want to get 3 points and set you up nicely for Saturday's crunch game. And it really teened until the second half before anything really materialised.
Kelty had a lot of the ball, but they didn't really sort of cause Peter too much problems. As I said, any crosses that were coming in, Wilson was coming in and collecting them. So as far as that kind of concerned, yes, they can get a lot of the ball, but if they're not creating anything with it, then you're okay, I guess.
Yeah, you're quite happy letting the opposition hit the bar, providing they're not going to hurt you. Where maybe, you know, the Saturday's exploits and throws, it was a quick game. In terms of the tempo was quite good, and the fact that there was only the one change, I did think there might have been more changes. I'm going to get a life. I've seen the team come through. I did think there would be maybe 3 or 4. So you just wonder whether the 2 games in 3-4 days maybe had an impact on the way we started. You know, waiting on throws and then doing it to Fife and the Tuesdays at the best. John is the D. Like I said, it teamed really until the second half before anything happened.
There was one chance, one sort of glaring chance, I guess, and it came for Lyle Carman after a mistake for their keeper. He's a poor kick out, he's going straight to him, and I guess this is maybe the youth going against him, because he gets the ball and suddenly it's like, oh, what am I going to do here? Kind of almost, what do you say, panics, but he dwells on it too much, and then that just allows, funnily enough, another ex-Peterhead player to get back, Scott Hooper, to get back and make the tackle before he can get a shot off. But again, it's what we keep saying, just that little decision making in the final third needs to kind of improve slightly.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if he had the same sort of chance, you know, next season. With that year's experience under his belt, yeah, it's come along really quick, and you just wish he'd reacted slightly quicker than Fitty did before Hooper got back.
Changes at half time, bold changes, I would have said. He took off Cook and Cameron, and brought on Boyd and Lyle, and went 4-4-2, stuck Lyle up top with the armour. So, I guess he either felt that those two, Cook and Cameron, were needing a bit of a rest, or he felt as though he needed to change something to get the game on their side, as it were.
Yeah, I think a bit of both. I think he realised that the first game wasn't that great, and he felt that, you know, Kelty were there to beat, and he's a massive chance. It's one of them, you didn't want to be coming back up the road thinking, what if I'd done it maybe 10 minutes earlier? And it's nice something that Jim will do a lot is make half-time substitutions, but the fact that, you know, as I said, 2 games in 3 days, the fact that Kelty were there for the beating, was, I feel, the reason Jim maybe went 2 up top, because he felt the game was very winnable.
I guess as well that Ben was maybe looking for a bit of support as well, because it wasn't really coming forthwith, so he could change his game slightly. Lyle became more of the target man, and Ben could use his pace and quickness just to try and link up rather than being the person who was doing the linking.
I the back line for Kilty, you know, they're experienced guys, but they're also ex-Peter Hugh guys. So they'll cane the way that maybe Ben Armour plays, so that, you know, putting two up gives them more to think about. Obviously, they'll cane Ben Armour and Derek Lyle, but it just gives them that something extra to think about if you're using Derek as a target man.
Three of the back four used to play for Peter Hughes, so it just shows you. But it obviously, it worked, because we got the opening goal. Gary Fraser with a brilliant, brilliant strike.
Yeah, he picks it up, I think it was at 25, 30 yards out. And he's just hitting. The keeper's never got to be saved on that. A really good strike.
It's what he's got in his locker, and that's the kind of annoying thing about it is, because he can do that, he can hit a ball as sweet as like that, and then he goes and takes a free kick or a corner, and he balloons it, you know, 40 yards past where everybody else is. So it's finding that fine balance with Gary Fraser sort of set plays.
Yeah, I think at the start of last season, we commented on that. We wondered out of how many corners it would get, how many would actually go into the box, and how many would actually just go straight out for a goal kick. Yeah, I guess it's a frustrating part of his game that we know he's got in his locker. You just want him to produce it on a more consistent basis.
We should maybe just tell him to shoot for corners and things for now on, just to, rather than try to fix it up.
Yeah, he would actually be able to hear us as well, so you know, it's not a bad show.
he did then go and make another change, and again, we'll maybe argue hindsight would be a great thing, but he took Armour off and stuck on Simon Ferry in the 63rd minute. There could be two thoughts into this. One, was it too early, trying to then go a bit more defensive because he went back to that sort of 4-1 formation that he played with quite a lot last season? Or it might be a case of Ben was struggling a little bit and he needed to be taken off. But the momentum, once that change was made, just seemed to shift slightly back to Kilty again.
Yeah, when the sub came through, I thought it was a case of, you know, Ben can't play three games in a week at this moment, and I do think he will be starting against St Johnstone. But I also thought that it was game time for Simon Ferry before potentially coming back in on Saturday as well for his experience. So from that side of things, I thought it was a good sub. But like you said, the momentum changed as soon as that happened, because you're... Ben can stretch a game, whereas Derek Lyle, he's not got a running behind, so it allowed Kilty to push up further and squeeze a game, and we lost the momentum, as you said. And we got punished for it, but hindsight's maybe a good thing. He might have maybe either made the change or waited another 10 minutes for it, but again, it depends how much energy Ben had in his legs coming back from the injury.
I would say as well, once we went 4-4-2 and once Ferry did come on as well, Gary Fraser seemed to be a bit more kind of dominant in the midfield as well. I know he's been playing in that sort of holding kind of role and allowing Brown and McCarthy to do the sort of box-to-box kind of stuff. So he said it'd be a bit more disciplined. But once that kind of shackles came off, we saw a different kind of player altogether.
Yeah, we've seen that last season when you've got Brown, Ferry and Fraser. They all play really well together. But when Fraser is allowed just to, almost like to roam, you know, he can pick a pass, he's very direct, he can score goals as well, he's got that in his locker. So once you allow him off, as you said, allow the shackles off, he's a really good player, and you're just hoping that you can see more of that as the season goes on.
Shortly after that, though, Boyd could have made it two. It'll be one of those times that he goes one-on-one with the goalkeeper, and you would think 9 times out of 10 he's going to score, but this one time he has completely fluffed his lines and ended up being a really poor finish.
It's probably the one player on the pitch who'd want the chance to fall to. He's a very composed man, but like you said, it's that one occasion that he isn't a teen, but that was probably the turning point in the game, you know, after the substitutions, and then that, I think we conceded, was it 2 minutes afterwards?
Just shortly after.
Yeah, if that had gone in at 2-0, I think it was game over. We would have seen it out. But the fact that we've missed it probably just gave Kilty that lift, and that they've gone on and scored from afterwards.
I mean, he's done the hard work. He's gotten past the defenders. He's created a bit of space. He's gone through 1-1 with the keeper. It's the end bit, the so-called easier bit. But I guess if he gets into that position again, he'll probably score.
Yeah, the two ways of looking at it, you're disappointed he's missed it. On the positive side, you're delighted that he's managed to create that yard of space for himself. So it's the flip of a coin, really. You're pleased that he's managed to get in the space, but you're disappointed that he hasn't finished it.
There was a mention earlier on, the equaliser for Kelty came from a long-range effort from yet another former Peterhead player, this time Jamie Stephen. We already had Russell McLean and Webster scoring against us for Montrose, and now we've got Stevenson this week. I don't think there's any former Peterhead players playing for St Johnstone, so we should be okay there.
That's exactly what's going through my head as you're saying that sentence. I'm trying to wrap up that. Don't think there is anybody, but we'll soon find out.
Stevenson, we know how good he is. We free kicks. That's probably even more disappointing, the fact that we've allowed him to I know it's a long range one, and we're probably not expecting it, but he is good at set plays.
It's the fact that Ukeny's got it in his locker. You don't want to be giving away stupid free kicks and fouls outside the box. Because I'm sure that Jim probably mentioned it beforehand, that he's got that in his locker. Some of the guys are still there and they know it. And that's probably the disappointing thing, that we've allowed cheap free kick to be given away and then they've scored from it. But taking that away from Jimmy, it is a good finish, I hate to say.
And he got man of match. I think it was his second game in a row. Hooper got it on Saturday, I think it was, and then he got it. So they're dishing it around with the former Peterhead players, but to be honest with you, half the teams. And again, after that, nothing much else really happened. I think both sides, in a funny way, were quite happy for it to go into penalties.
Yeah, I think if you'd said to both teams that you got a draw in 90 minutes and you have a chance with a bonus point at penalties, I think probably both of them being quite happy with it.
Penalties, well, there's not much we can say really about that. Brown scored the first one, and Tidsder, I think that's how you say it, he missed, and then everybody else scored. So it was pretty routine penalties for Brown, Fraser, Boyd, Lyle and Conroy. The guys you'd expect to take the penalties, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You've seen the guys, walking up to take their penalties, and it is guys you'd expect. You'll maybe know better than me. We've got, must have a pretty good record from the penalty spot. Pretty sure we had a game last season, was it Inverness?
I think it was 12, it was like 11-10 or something. I think Fleming scored the winner.
So we must have a good record with penalties.
Yeah.
Over the course of the last 15 months.
Obviously working on that and training at some point. But we may be slightly disappointed, but on the grand scheme of things, if we look at it and we say, well, we've got 8 points out of the three games, when we sort of discussed it before the first game was played, we would have been happy with 7 points overall. So we shouldn't be too discouraged with the fact that we've got 8 points. We're sitting joint top with Dundee United, so you know it's all still to play for.
Yeah, we're disappointed they beat Kelty 90 minutes, but we both said last week it wasn't going to be a case of we just turn up and win the game. Kelty are a good sign. They've put together some good additions over the last couple of months. But if somebody had said to you that you'll go into the game on Saturday against St Johnstone with fate in your own hands, you'd have absolutely jumped at it.
Oh, aye.
So I think we've got to be really pleased with, regardless of what happens on Saturday, we've got to be pleased with how we've fared in the Cup. Against some really good opposition.
Final thing to the Celtic game. Barry Ferguson still getting booked, even though he's a manager now these days.
Some things never change.
I don't know what he was thinking. He just absolutely hoofed the ball back onto the park. He was always going to get booked for it. And then he still argued about it. Things never change.
I think that's the funniest thing about it. He's still going to argue over it. You want to get along with that, even if you are Barry Ferguson.
Premier League referees would be able to let him away with it, but he's a nobody these days. Right, we should then go on to Saturday's game then, the now huge game against St Johnstone. It's one of those games that you'd have loved to have fans in, because I think it would have been a fairly packed Ballinmooer, and the chairman would have been rubbing his hands, but alas, as things stand, we have nobody in. So it might affect the game, I don't know, but you just think better with the fans had been in.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We've seen it a couple of years ago when Rangers came here, also in Hearts when they came up in the Cup, that a packed Ballinmooer does make a difference and you can get a positive result. You're hoping that we'll, obviously there's no fans going to be there on Saturday, but we're hoping that we'll put out a good performance. But it is disappointing that you couldn't get a packed Balmore.
St Johnstone this season, a bit up and down would be the polite way to kind of to put it. They started off really bad in the league. I think they only won 2 or 3 out of their first 10. Recently, they've got 2 wins and 2 draws. 2 draws have been 0-0 against Dundee United. So it's a bit, you know, as I said, we don't really know what to kind of expect for St Johnstone this season.
I want us to hear go at St Johnstone because I know they're a Premiership team, but they haven't been great. Seen some of the highlights of their games over the last couple of weeks. But they're a great team. They've scored 10 league goals. About 5 of them came in 1 game away at Hamilton, which normally is a tricky place to go to, yet they've managed to put 5 past them. But Hamilton, again, they've struggled this season. But St Johnstone, I don't think they're... you can quote me on this next week, depending on the result. But I think they're there to be got at. I don't think they'll fancy coming up to Balmore. The pressure is on them. They'll be expected to come up here and win. They're the Premiership side. They know that a positive result and they're through. So I think the pressure's on us. We've nothing really to lose in the game. I want us to be in the front foot. I don't want us to sit back and try and play for set pieces or nick it. I really want us to go and have a go at them, get in their faces early doors and let them came there in a game. Because if you allow a Premiership team to come up and or any team and get a foothold in the game, you know, they'll dictate it. So I'm hoping that we can be really positive on Saturday.
You mentioned their goals there. Stevie May is their top goal scorer. He's got 6 and 13, which, you know, sounds not too bad a record. But then if you look at that, 3 of them were against Brechin in the 7-0 win and 2 of them were on that 5-0 win. So he's got 5 goals in that 2 games. So if you take those 2 out, he's only got 1 in 11. And he's their top goal scorer.
Yeah, continuing on his form from Aberdeen, didn't really work out there. I think a lot of people expected him to go to St Johnstone, just, you know, go back to what he was doing, scoring goals. It isn't turned out like that. I just wonder whether Callum Davison as well, if he's got feeling the pressure, you know. I'm not for 1 second saying his job would be on the line if he lost to Peterhead and didn't get through in the cup, but there's probably got to be some concerns for St Johnstone fans, I would think.
You mentioned as well conceding goals. They've conceded 16 and 13. So again, there's a chance there, and it's about us taking our chances as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you looked at St Johnstone last year under Tommy Wright, they didn't concede... But it doesn't appear to be conceding so many goals as what they are now. I don't know if the St Johnstone style of play has changed a lot or not under Callum Davison, but they definitely seem weaker at the back. And I think if you can, you know, attack St Johnstone, that they're there to be gotten at, which is why I want us to attack early on. If we can take our chances and get into good positions, get on the front foot, then I do think we can get a positive result from the game.
Now look at their midfield, and I specifically want to look at their midfield because you've got David Wotherspoon, who's 30, Murray Davidson, who started 2, Liam Craig, 33, Craig Bryson, who started 4, and Craig Conway's 35. That is their midfield. So you can't tell me that the midfield that we've got cannot do some damage against theirs.
I generally didn't care that their midfield was that experienced, shall we say. Yeah, that's quite a statistic. They're experienced players, but their legs aren't going to be the greatest, I wouldn't have thought. So, yeah, it makes you even more positive because I really feel that we can get at them. And if that's their midfield or potentially a midfield trio or quartet that they could put out, I really do fancy our chances.
They are big names. I mean, obviously Craig Bryson, Craig Conway, Murray Davidson. You're also, oh yeah, they're good players. Then you sort of tweak it with their age and you go, oh, hang on a minute. There's no youth there whatsoever. So as you say, well, let's just get at them.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got youth in the team and really, really go at them and try and get a positive result because... I just say for fans and but maybe players as well, I think they'd be really disappointed if they come off the park losing the game but naying a go at them. You know, hey, a go at them, and if you do lose 3-4-0, at least you came, you gave everything to try and get through the next round. But did I come off the park leaving something on that you really wish you'd done better?
There are many kind of connotations as how we can get yeah. through, how we kind of get through. The easiest one obviously would be if we just won the game outright in 90 minutes. That would put us yeah. top. It could actually potentially knock Dundee United out as well, which I think it probably will as well, because second place teams so far in the other groups, I think I've got 9 points. We'll still got, obviously get games to play. So beating St Johnstone would actually knock St Johnstone and Dundee United out of the Betfred Cup. And if you said that at the beginning of the competition, we would have been there laughing.
Yeah, absolutely. It just shows you how big the result at Tannadice is now that the league sort of come in the last game of it. We didn't expect to go to Tannadice and win, but it's really, I think it is important that we capitalise on that by getting a positive result against St Johnstone, and I think we can.
I don't think 9 points is going to be enough, as I said, because I think there's teams in the other groups are sitting on 9 at the moment.
Yeah.
Our goal difference isn't that great. Yes, it's +3, but given that Dundee United is +4 and St Johnstone themselves is +8 because they obviously capitalising their chances against Brechin, which we didn't.
Yeah.
To an extent, that's maybe going to go against us. So, but a draw and an extra point win, again, that would give us 10 points. And again, that would probably knock them both out as well. So even if we draw the game and lose the penalty shootout, that would have us on 9 points. And St Johnstone would be on 9 points. St Johnstone with a better goal difference would go through. We would probably go out on goal difference because, as I said, we didn't take advantage of our chances against Brechin.
There are so many permutations that could happen. Wouldn't it be good to go in the last 10 minutes 3-0 up and just kind that the job's done? You didn't want to be drawn 1-1 and then thinking this could happen, that could happen. It's one of them games you want to try and win in the 90 minutes, but if it means that we need to take a draw and then get the bonus point, then it might be enough. You never know.
The good thing about it is we didn't have to really worry about other results, because we don't have to worry about what's happening in the other groups, because we know that 9 points isn't going to be enough, 8 points isn't going to be enough. So, you know, that 10-point mark is what we're aiming for, 10 points or 11 points. Either way, either a win in 90 minutes or a win in penalties is how we go through. As I say, we're not going to go through in second, so we'll have to win either way.
I think, as you said, the fact that we're not relying on any of the results will play into our hands, because we came, we've got to do the job ourselves. We're not relying on anybody else. We're not waiting on a late goal somewhere else. We can't exactly fit needs to be done. You know, even as we record now, we can't exactly fit needs to be done for us to go through. The players will be aware of it, the manager and the squad will be aware of it. So it's a case of going out on Saturday, giving it your all, and they leaving nothing on the pitch afterwards.
Yep, and we should say as well, obviously it'll be a big game, but there'll be a couple of debutants on Saturday as well, as we finally managed to be able to tell everybody earlier on we'll be joining Blue Team TV to do the commentary live on Saturday, and for the remainder of the closed door home games as well. So I'm looking forward to it. Any last minute narrows?
Not at the moment, no. Ask me again on Saturday morning. I think maybe the threat of us playing and getting our boots dug out was enough for Jim to say, no, we need to give him something to do rather than getting him on the park. Really looking forward to it. It'll be a fair bit of research to go into it over the next couple of days. But yeah, looking forward to starting on Saturday.
And we should thank Peterhead Football Club for the opportunity, because it's as we said in our restatement earlier on today, that it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. We're not going to get this again. So you know, for the guys that's been working with us so far this season, we kind of thank them enough.
Yeah, I think the hardest bit is knowing for a wee while and they've been able to say nothing. But we've finally got the green light to put out our news. So yeah, really looking forward to it. We kind of thank the folk at Peterhead enough. You know, even for week two, week three of the podcast, they've been really supportive and helped us out with everything that we've needed, whether it be chats with the manager or, getting contacts that we needed for getting in touch with players. So, yeah, we're really pleased and we're really looking forward to getting started on Saturday.
should say that this was something that the fans had wanted, who've been listening to the stream, because there were obviously no commentary. So
maybe not particularly us, but this is who you've got.
I was going to say you should watch what you wish for, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we'll enjoy it, and we'll have a bit of fun with it as well, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, looking forward to it. It's something new for us, and I'm sure we'll be telling if we're needing a good job.
Well, that's something to look forward to on Saturday, but that'll end it for what's turned out to be a bumper edition of the Blue Toon podcast this week. My thanks to Martin for joining me as always, and we'd both like to thank you all for listening as always. We'll be back again next week, so we'll see you all again soon. Cheers.